This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It's Monday, 26th of July, 2021, the last week of what could be a crucial transition into August. Have a listen to the podcast on Friday for more thoughts on that. But we have this week the winding down of the Treasury account at the Fed, supposedly complete, and some 100 plus billion to go on that account. And just the seasonal transition into August, plus an FOMC meeting, plus a massive week for earnings could make this a quite pivotal week across global markets. And we're also kicking off the week with quite a bit of volatility out in Asia to be sure. And you can actually skip to slide three in today's slide deck, find the link with today's podcast description. The CSI 300 popping way down there below the 200-day moving average, which it had kind of been hugging for the last few weeks here. You can see that big flatline area around 4,900 that goes back quite some time. Interesting signals here from China, which is cracking down. We've talked a lot about it previously with Peter Garnry, our equity strategist. By the way, he'll be pleased to note that he is back on his at the desk next week when I am stepping away on holiday. But this crackdown on a lot of internet giants, their data collection, and then this recent episode as well with Didi, the car share, or sort of the car hire app and service, where their listing in the U.S. Raised the ire of the authorities in China, saw a huge crackdown. The latest one overnight is a crackdown on education companies. And this is interesting, not only to seeking to cinch off investment from foreigners in these companies and making it illegal for these companies to raise capital abroad, but also forbidding them from teaching essentially basic school curriculum, whether in the evenings or on the weekends. Perhaps a sign that they would rather have folks go through the normal channels for the education. Whatever it is, it's clearly spooking this sector, which had garnered a lot of attention and inflows and investment in recent months and years. And yes, just a very different place we are in the Chinese equity market versus the U.S. equity market. You can see the NASDAQ 100, I put that on slide two, surging to a new high above 15,000 for the first time on Friday. So quite a spectacular close to last week ahead of, again, this week when just about every huge name is reporting. I put up the MACD. You can see that the momentum is a bit divergent, but that's always going to be the case when you had a decent size sell-off and then new highs. So that's not really confirmed unless this sort of 15,000 area fails quite badly this week. But worth noting, and also worth noting, as again mentioned on Friday, the weak breadth. And you can kind of see that on our equity theme baskets. There are very few that have a positive month-to-date performance. And if you take some of these basic value indices, they're pretty much flat relative to where they've been in recent months. So yeah, a narrow rally. We're also concerned about the seasonality heading into August that we discussed there. Concerned that volatility could pick up here to a degree. Also, this whole Chinese U.S. disconnect, they're starting actually high-level talks, trade talks that had some pretty ugly quotes out overnight. These are going on, and I think it's Tianjin, China, with the Chinese side saying that essentially the relationship is in a stalemate at this point in time. And then in other markets, just interesting to see that this sort of pretty strong comeback that we saw in risk appetite last week. There was a bit of a stumble recently, and then most of the balance of last week was saw risk sentiment stabilizing despite Delta variant concerns, etc. But if you look at something like Aussie dollar, you would think relatively possibly correlated with both the reflation trade and the outlook. Clearly, maybe some of that negative Asian focus out overnight weighing on the Aussie a bit here. But if you look on slide four, you can see that last week, even though we saw a pretty solid bounce, it was from a very vicious sell-off, and we didn't really even challenge a tactical resistance around 74 plus. And that's basically where the resistance is. I would argue to start putting in a reversal or bottom, you would need to see it reversing back up above 75 at minimum. Keeps the pressure and the outlook to the downside, especially, I think, if we see widening volatility and concerns. And just volatility picking up in general this week, as we suspect might be a risk. And then last week, On that note, and while on foreign exchange, if you look at euro dollar on slide five, this area, I'm so sick of talking about it, but we just haven't resolved. And last week's ECB meeting largely failed to resolve the chart there as well. We have sort of teased that line around 117.75, the sort of sloping, upward sloping head and shoulders neckline type area, but it hasn't catalyzed any major move. So it looks like it'll be up to this week's FOMC meeting and the transition to a new month to potentially get this one moving either below 117.50, the approximate lows cycle here, or above something like 118.50, sort of a minimal hurdle to the upside to potentially set in motion a bit more consolidation. And then on the trend readings, you can see that these have just been inching lower and lower in most cases. On the negative side, we have some of the commodity-linked currencies still, although their trends are well off their worst, at least in the case of the Canadian dollar, certainly at nearly flat, but also the Norwegian krona, which was really suffering recently until oil bounced back very strongly last week. And then on the strong side, we have, you know, the dollar still in an uptrend, but going somewhat sideways, as I've shown on a couple of charts recently. Japanese yen is theoretically still in an uptrend, but is consolidated very sharply from its strongest reading. So looking for confirmation of the existing set of trends and re-strengthening of those, or a potential reversal this week. And again, with the FOMC meeting and earnings out, it looks like we have plenty of catalysts for people to make decisions this week. So let's have a look at, and by the way, I should actually mention as well in overnight news, the crypto space certainly deserves a brief bit of attention here, as we saw quite a swell of and rally in Bitcoin price overnight, with that move supposedly crediting or supposedly driven by a one-off or an unverified article, and I think it was the City AM newspaper in the UK. So a single source out there claiming that Amazon is interested in accepting Bitcoin for transactions. I don't see why they would do that, but given the hassle of using Bitcoin, but supposedly looking into that, accepting Bitcoin sometime this year, and possibly interested in making its own coin. So we've seen quite a rally in Bitcoin prices, approaching the bottom of that key area in Bitcoin around 40 to 42K. So worth keeping an eye on that space for, again, as across markets. Interesting to see that when it's been somewhat correlated, Bitcoin prices, with the general market direction of late. Yeah, and then on the earnings front, have the overview. And this is just the big headline names. There's so many companies out reporting this week, but it really is the biggest of the big, and they're almost all reporting this week. Today, it's about Tesla and Louis Vuitton, or LVMH, and those are reporting after their respective market closes. And Tesla, the focus there, especially on China. And I just to give a perspective on why there's so much focus on China, looked at Q3 19. So I just wanted to make sure I got a quarter that was entirely free of any COVID impact, as it was already hitting China in the very tail end of 19 versus Q1 of 2021. So that 5-quarter growth period, North American sales increased around 40%, give or take, over that time period. The rest of the world around 16, so 16%. But the Chinese sales, 350%. So clearly a lot of focus there, looking for sequentially about $1 billion increase on the top line in Tesla. And the guidance will be important, of course, as well. And we've seen on the stock price, I've put a weekly chart up there on slide six, that it really is not a pretty chart. We topped out at the early part of this year there towards 900, and have created quite a line in the sand there around 539, 540. Which has twice been tested. We're well off that line now, but that'll be the focus if there is a new sell-off, potentially seeing a much larger unwind of that bubble-like, we would argue, advance in the stock from the pre-pandemic and the post-pandemic outbreak levels into the beginning of this year. And then just look at the rundown of names. It's just an incredible, in terms of market cap, the many, many trillions of market cap reporting this week. So tomorrow we have Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, and AMD. Then on Wednesday, Facebook is the key massive one there. Thursday, Amazon, and Friday, a couple of oil majors, as well as some European banks. So plenty to keep equity analysts busy this week, which would have to be seen as the peak of the earnings season for sure. And then we have as well, I think a technical focus, just rounding out the different asset classes on crude oil, which saw a very volatile week last week with that big sell-off on Monday, supposedly triggered by the OPEC, fairly modest, but whatever, production increase of 400,000 barrels. But that subsequent action suggesting perhaps that was sort of aggravated potentially by order flows or poor liquidity, whatever, because the subsequent few days saw it entirely retraced. And we've retraced to some really key, the really key Fibonacci retracement, 61.8%. In the case of September Brent, that comes in the high of 73s, close to $74 a barrel. We've been marginally above there, but that looks like a key resistance there. Of course, the big focus here in the coming days and weeks is this Delta variant and to what degree it's going to hold back the return of normal demand growth. Some interesting reports, by the way, over the recent days about why this Delta variant is so contagious. And it's quite interesting because it is because apparently, according to some measures, I think it was mostly based on research in China, the viral load, so the sort of the amount of virus that your body's producing when you have the Delta variant is on the order of potentially 1,000 times greater than the normal the previous strains of the virus. So that is making it the factor that is making it so much more contagious, as well as it has having a shorter incubation period of something like 4 days rather than six. So pretty scary stuff there. And obviously with the viral load, the risk is, especially if you're unvaccinated, that you get sicker. And does seem to be encouraging some behavior change so far in vaccination. But obviously we need to continue to track this Delta variant and other variants that may arise story in coming weeks. Fortunately, in the case of the UK, we have cases beginning to fall again. They have a very widespread testing procedure, and they also have a lot of quarantining procedures in the UK. So even if you're a second contact removed from the person who got the variant, basically you're having to quarantine, and it's creating all kinds of disruptions, empty store shelves, people not at work. We're still far from normalization on that account. All right, and then let's go ahead and move to the macro calendar highlights for the week ahead. It's some important ones coming up for sure. With this being an FOMC week, it is a meeting we have this week with no new set of forecasts, whether on the economy itself or on the policy forecast. So any changes will have to be stuff we glean from the new monetary policy statement and from Powell's press conference. And after his recent testimony before congressional panels, it's hard to see where we're going to see this acting as a major catalyst, but certainly it could, and especially given, again, that the time frame we're in as we transition into August that we've mentioned so much. We also have the first Q2 GDP estimate, as well as some interesting European inflation data and the June PCE inflation data print on Friday. So I think it'll be a very interesting week ahead. We'll see how it unfolds day to day. And I think we'll call it a wrap for today. We'll be back tomorrow with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.